بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد continue from the statement of the author. He mentioned رحمه الله تعالى after clarifying that الرب هو المعبود, that the one who is truly deserving of worship, the only one who is worthy of worship, he is Ar-Rabb, and the creator and the sustainer and the provider, the disposer of the affairs of the heavens and the earth and all that which is therein, the one who has created all things and given everything its shape and its form. Ar-Rabb huwa al-ma'bud, he is the one who deserves and is worthy of worship. The author, he mentioned the evidences for this, and likewise after this he clarifies some of the types of ibadah. And this is where we were reading whenever he mentioned وَأَنْوَاعُ الْعِبَادَةِ الَّتِي أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهَا مِثْلُ الْإِسْلَامِ وَالْإِيمَانِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَمِنْهَا الدُّعَاءُ وَالْخَوْفُ وَالرَّجَاءُ وَالتَّوَكُّلُ وَالرَّغْبَةُ وَالرَّهْبَةُ وَالْخُشُوعُ وَالْخَشْيَةُ والإنابة والاستعانة والاستعاذة والاستغاثة والذبح والنذر وغير ذلك من أنواع العبادة التي أمر الله بها كلها لله تعالى. والدليل قوله تعالى وأن المساجد لله فلا تدعوا مع الله أحدا فمن صرف منها شيئا لغير الله فهو مشرك كافر. والدليل قوله تعالى وما يدعو مع الله إله آخر لا برهان له به فإنما حسابه عند ربه إنه لا يفرح الكافرون. After this, the author, he goes on to mention the detailed evidences for each type of ibadah. He says, and from the types of ibadah that Allah Azza wa Jalla has commanded, like for example, al-Islam, wal-Iman, wal-Ihsan. As we see, these are the maratib al-Din, and this is included here. The whole religion of Allah Azza wa Jalla is included in these terms: al-Islam, wal-Iman, wal-Ihsan. And these are the greatest acts of worship. And then he mentioned after this specifically was supplication, and also fear and hope and trust or reliance, and also desire and another type of fear, and khushu', humbleness and humility, and khashya, fear that is coupled with knowledge and understanding. Also al-inaba, and seeking aid and help, and seeking refuge and seeking relief from calamity and hardship. Also, he mentioned slaughtering and taking oaths, and other than that, from the types of ibadah, meaning that there are other types, rather many other types. He only mentioned a few, yani to make examples. Other than that, from the types of ibadah that Allah has commanded, and all of them are for Allah alone. And the evidence is the statement of Allah the Most High, the meaning of which is, in verity, the masajid, they are for Allah alone. So do not call on anyone else along with Allah whatsoever. The author, he mentions, so whoever directs anything, or whoever directs something from these types of worship to other than Allah, and any portion, whoever directs any portion from these types of worship to other than Allah, then he is a mushrik and a kafir. Then he is a polytheist, a pagan, and he is a disbeliever. Whoever directs any part of this worship, and this is a general rule and principle, that this is one of the definitions encompassing all-inclusive definition of shirk, صَرْفُ الْعِبَادَةِ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى أو صَرْفُ شَيْءٍ مِنَ الْعِبَادَةِ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, to direct any act of worship or a portion of that worship to other than Allah Azza wa Jalla, this is considered shirk. To direct any act, any portion of an act of worship to other than Allah Azza wa Jalla, this is considered shirk. This is considered shirk. So then the issue here is, if the action or the statement is established that it's ibadah, then to direct a portion of that to other than Allah, this is shirk. This is shirk. So he's saying, فَمَنْ صَرَفَ مِنْهَا شَيْئًا لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَ فُهُوَ مُشْرِكٌ كَافِرٌ. He mentioned the evidence from that, from the statement of Allah the Most High, and whoever calls on other than Allah, God besides Allah, that he has no proof for, then verily his recompense is with his Lord, and verily those who disbelieve will never be successful. After this, in this portion of the text, the author, he will mention an evidence for every one of those types of worship that he mentioned. And to clarify that what he has mentioned from these acts of worship, or these different types of ibadah, that each one of them are established acts of worship with the proof, from the Quran and from the Sunnah. Again, to clarify that whoever directed something from these that have been established, and also other acts of worship that have been established in the Quran and in the Sunnah, to other than Allah, then this is shirk. If we know that this is shirk, then to direct those actions to Allah alone, to devote oneself entirely to Allah alone in performing these same actions, this is tawheed, and this is the true ibadah. This is tawheed. So these actions here, they must be devoted and directed entirely and performed entirely for Allah Azza wa Jal alone. So here the author, the discussion here is about man rabbuk, who is your Lord? And the whole topic here was still under al-asl al-awwal, who is your Lord? After clarifying who Allah is, who Allah Azza wa Jal is, he mentioned that we know Him by His signs and His creation and in His legislation. And he clarified the proofs and evidences for this. And then also after clarifying who He is and that He is the Rabb, and He is the Creator, and He has the Rububiyyah. Likewise, He has the Asma wa Sifat of perfection, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, no deficiency whatsoever. Then He is the one who deserves and worthy of worship. Ar-Rabbu Huwal Ma'bud. So this is how the author now, he discussed the issue of ibadah. Because this is the sole right of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the sole right of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, that He is worshipped alone without any partners. And likewise, we've seen that this is the first call to all mankind in His book, and also the first commandment, and also the first prohibition is contrary to that ibadah, yani shirk. And also the call of all of the messengers was to tawheed and to the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal alone. So we see this reality, and that mankind was created for this purpose, and likewise the jinn, that He created us to do this, and then He commanded us with this. He created us for ibadah, and then He commanded us likewise with ibadah. Naam, He created mankind and the jinn, even the creation, for us to worship Him alone. Naam, and then also He commanded us and made it obligatory upon us to perform that. And He promised us that whoever performs that in a manner He's pleased with, then he will have a good life and he will have paradise in the hereafter and in His pleasure. And whoever opposes Him in that, then he has the threat of the fire. Naam, he has the threat of humility in this life, and also the fire and the painful punishment in the hereafter. So based upon this, it's very important to learn about ibadah and to know the details of ibadah. So he mentioned here, anwa'ul ibadah, any different types of ibadah. But we must discuss some of the issues related to ibadah. In our previous class, we've seen that one of the definitions of ibadah, or actually we mentioned two. We got to talk about one of them in detail. That ibadah is a term that is used to refer to two different issues or two different aspects. Who remembers that? Aywa, ibadah bimana ta'abud. Yani the act of worship. The act of, or the state of a person being in a state of worship, an act of worship. It's called a ta'abud. Yani ibadah. Al-ibadah. And then also sometimes the word ibadah is used to refer to the action that one is worshiping with. Naam, like salat is ibadah. And then the one who is performing salat, he is in a state of ibadah. So they have a different definition and different reality and understanding. And to understand this is very important. That way the person, he can be a true abid lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala whenever he performs salat. Because some people may perform salat, but their ibadah is very deficient. Some people may perform charity, but their ibadah is very deficient. Naam, so just as the heart, just as the body part performs the action, like salat and zakat and the hajj and tawaf, and so on and so forth, likewise the heart has to be in a state of ibadah. And this is where our discussion was in our previous class, that the ulama, they mentioned that ibadah, and from this definition, it means the peak of love, and also submission, and humility and humbleness. So this is how a person, he will worship Allah Azza wa Jal. That this is how his heart is whenever he's performing any act of worship, that he has love in his heart, and he's worshiping Allah because he loves Him. Whatever the action may be, whatever the statement may be, he's only performing that seeking the reward and the pleasure and hoping for the mercy of the one whom he loves and the one who he is worshipping, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the one who loves something, this necessitates for him to hope for nearness and the good of the one that he loves. And he hopes to be near the one that he loves. So then a person, he worships Allah azza wa jalla, hoping to be near to Him, hoping to have His aid and hoping to have His help because he loves Him. He loves him, and he wants the good from Allah Azza wa Jal. He's hoping for that. And at the same time, he's afraid that he will not be accepted, or he's afraid that he would do something that would cause him to be distanced away from the one whom he loves, yani his Lord and Creator, Allah Azza wa Jal. So then a person, he worships Allah Azza wa Jal based upon love, hope, and fear. Love, hope, and fear. The worship that is not based in this manner, the salat that is not included in it, the worship of the heart, is very deficient. Likewise, the charity. Likewise, the hajj. Likewise, seeking knowledge. Likewise, teaching or giving khutbah. All of this has to be done in this manner. A person, whatever is established from these acts of worship, they have to be in this manner. The heart has to be worshiping. If we notice the methodology of the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, in here, he mentioned first al-Islam, wal-Imani, wal-Ihsan. And the greatest acts of worship, and the deen. And then after that, he began with dua, and then khawf and raja. All of these are actions besides dua, but when the dua is performed properly, it's also an action of the heart. And then he mentioned all these other acts of worship. He didn't mention salat, and this is included in Islam. And he didn't mention zakat and so on and so forth, and giving charity, but he mentioned khawf and hope, and fear and hope and trust and reliance. These are actions. These are ibadah, qalbiyah. These are actions of the heart, referring to the importance of this affair. Like this, many people, whenever they think about ibadah, they think, oh, prayer is ibadah only. Or they think hajj is ibadah only. Or some people, even worse than that, they think that ibadah is only done inside the masjid, for example. Some people have a very deficient understanding of worship. But rather, the whole life of a believer, the whole life of a believer can be worshipped and should be in devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in obedience and to be worshipped. So then from this aspect, we see that yani ibadah, it has these pillars of the heart, and that is to love the one you worship, loving Allah Azza wa Jal, and to hope for His good and His mercy, and to fear His punishment, and to fear His anger, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then after that, he performs the salat. After that, he performs the zakat. After that, he performs the memorization of hadith, whatever the ibadah may be, or giving the charity, so on and so forth, in this manner. From the aspects also of ibadah that the ulama, they mention, that in reality, everything is a slave. Yani in servitude to Allah Azza wa Jal. So this ibadah, there's an ibadah that is amma. The ulama, they mention, there's a general type of ibadah, and there is a specific type of ibadah. The general type of ibadah, ubudiyyah, that includes the whole creation, even those who disbelieve in Allah Azza wa Jal, they're slaves. They're slaves, and they're under His command, and they're under His authority, and they cannot do anything except according to His will and His and what He has allowed and permitted for them. Naam, and this is a general type of servitude and ibadah, and they're under His rububiyyah and His lordship. And Allah Azza wa Jalla, He referred to this in His statement, "In kullu man fi samawati wal ardi illa ati ar-Rahmani 'abada," that there is nothing in the heavens and the earth except it comes to ar-Rahman as a slave. Naam, as a slave. So everything in this creation is a slave to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Is a slave to Allah Azza wa Jal. But then also there's another type of ibadah, or ubudiyyah, servitude and worship, which is specific. And this is the one that is only for the believers. And this is the one that is the greatest favor from Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is whenever a person, he will be a slave of Allah. He will be a slave of Allah Azza wa Jal, not to only His rububiyyah, but to His uluhiyyah, to His divinity, and to knowing Him and knowing His right to be worshipped. Knowing Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and worshipping Him in a manner that He's pleased with. And Allah referred to these people in many places in His book, and He has actually praised them, and they are the best of creation. Those people who submit and they worship Allah and they're slaves to Allah Azza wa Jal, this type of ubudiyyah al-khasa, they are the best of creation. And Allah has referred to them in many places in His book in this manner with great praise. وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ حَوْنًا, and the slaves of Ar-Rahman. And the other verse, He said, إِلَّا آتِي الرَّحْمَنِ عَبْدًا, nothing in the heavens, or إِلَّا آتِي الرَّحْمَنِ, they come to Rahman as a slave. Yani, but this is this is a different type of slaveship that they will come. This, what He's referring to here, this is specific. And this is a high rank in status. And some people, they misunderstand this issue. And in reality, to be a slave to Allah Azza wa Jal is the greatest honor. It's the greatest honor. And it's something that Allah Azza wa Jal, He allows somebody. He allows them to be His slave. He allows them to worship Him as in the manner. He allows their hearts to humble themselves. It's a favor from Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He does not allow all of His creation to be obedient to Him and to know Him and to worship Him in this manner. This is something that is only for those whom He has selected Allah Azza wa Jal, He is the Lord of all of creation, and all are His slaves, and all they have His provision, and all of them He gives them from the affairs of the dunya. Even some of those who disbelieve in Him, He provides for them their breath and their soul. He provides for them their wealth and their health. And He provides for them many things from the affairs of the dunya. But He does not provide for everybody at iman, faith, and sincere and correct creed and belief. He does not provide for everyone to be able to be humble and submit to Him, and to bow down and to prostrate before Him with sincerity and with hope and with fear and with love. This is a great favor from Allah Azza wa Jalla that He has only given to those whom He has selected, those whom He loves and He has chosen. A great favor from Him, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentioned in his book also about this type of servitude. He says, whenever mentioning about a shaitan, or about Iblis, whenever he went astray, and Allah Azza wa Jalla, He banished him. And he said, قَالَ رَبِّي بِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأُزَيِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. And shaitan, he told Allah Azza wa Jal, he said, my Lord, even shaitan, he knows the rububiyyah of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now he says, my Lord, then verily, because you have led me astray, I will decorate and adorn for them in the earth, and I will lead all of them astray. إِلَّا عِبَادِكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. Except for your slaves, those who you have selected and chosen. Except for your slaves, those whom you have selected and chosen. Meaning that shaitan, he will have the ability and he will mislead mankind, all of them. And he will strive to decorate the falsehood and to decorate the evils of this life and that have bad outcomes in the hereafter, decorating the things that are detestful to Allah Azza wa Jalla, trying to make them beautiful and adorn them for the people to fall into them, to trick them, to falling into his disobedience and to disbelief. And then he said, I will do this to all of them, ajma'in. إِلَّا عِبَادِكَ مِنْهُمْ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. Except for those slaves of yours whom you have chosen. And you have selected them and made them sincere and guided them to obedience. قَالَ and Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, قَالَ هَذَا صِرَاطٌ عَلَيَّ مُسْتَقِيمٌ. This is a straight path that leads to me. And then he says, إِنَّ عِبَادِي لَيْسَ لَكَ عَلَيْهِمْ سُلْطَانٌ إِلَّا مَنِ اتَّبَعَكَ مِنَ الْغَاوِينَ. That verily my slaves, none of them, you have no authority over any of them. Except for those who follow you. Except for those who follow you. From those who are criminals and misguided. And those who have transgressed the boundaries. So then this is the case. We're all the slaves of Allah Azza wa Jal. With those who believe in Him and prostrate before Him. Meaning in submission and obedience. Meaning they bow down to His commandments. And they submit themselves with love and humbleness and humility. And they do not reject His commandments or take them lightly, nor do they perpetrate His prohibitions. These are the ones who He has selected and He has chosen. These are the ones who have the high ranks and the high status in this life and in the hereafter. If we want to ponder over the issue of the best of creation, and in general, as we've seen, they are Ibadur Rahman, those whom He has selected and chosen. And who is the best of them? Who are the leader? Who are the leaders of the slaves of Allah? Who is the leader of the slaves of Allah? The best of mankind. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we want to think about the attributes that he's been described with in the Quran, and how Allah has described him, then we will find that the best descriptions that has been mentioned by in the book of Allah are two. Allah has mentioned the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in different lights, in different understanding. But what is the two descriptions, the best and the highest of descriptions he's been described with in the book? That's one of them, but that's not the one we're looking for. He's been described as having a tremendous, being upon a tremendous level of character. Now, he's a slave of Allah. He's been described as being a slave of Allah. And the other one? He's described ubudiyyah. And he being a slave of Allah. This is the highest status. And inshallah, I will mention some of the evidences the scholars they mentioned to clarify that. The other? Ar-Rasul. Ar-Risala. Al-Ubudiyyah or Risala. These are the highest qualities and the highest ranks that the Prophet ﷺ has been described with. He has been given Risala. He's a messenger. He's a messenger. Not only is he a prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's a messenger. The highest and the best of the creation. And also he's described with ubudiyyah. Whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he challenged the creation to bring a verse or to bring some proof like the Qur'an, to bring something similar to the Qur'an, if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is lying, or if this Qur'an is not true, then bring something like it. Bring something like it. And this threat and this challenge that Allah, he has revealed to his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to mankind, all the way to this day, it remains. Now how did he describe them? When kuntum fi raybin mimma nazzalna ala abdina fa'tu bisuratin min mithlihi wad'u shuhada'akum in kuntum sadiqin. He said, if you have any doubt about what we revealed to our slave, if you have any doubt about what we revealed to our slave, then bring one surah, the likes thereof, and call all of your helpers if you are truthful. Call all your people to witness and to help you if you are truthful. In this verse, Allah is challenging the creation to bring something similar to this Quran, one chapter. But the point is that whenever he mentioned this, when he was referring to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nazzalna ala abdina, what we revealed to our slave. And this is not a degrading quality, rather this is a high status and rank. Rather this is a high status and rank to be a slave to Allah Azza wa Jal, to be obedient, not a slave to desires, not a slave to whims, not a slave to money, not a slave to the dunya, not a slave to fashion, not a slave to anything, only a slave to the Creator of all things, subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you were in any doubt about what we have revealed to our slave, then bring one surah like it. Bring one surah like it. The best night, the night of in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The night of al-Isra' wal-Miraj. Subhana alladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-harami ila al-masjid al-aqsa. Allah Azza wa Jalla, whenever he mentioned that about the night journey, whenever he took the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Mecca to Al-Quds, and then from there to the heavens, and then he went past the place that even the angel Jibreel couldn't go, and then he was decreed for him the five daily prayers sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, he mentioned this night journey in his book likewise. Whenever he mentioned him with the name Subhanallah, glorified is he alladhi asra bi'abdi. He took his slave on the night journey. He took his slave on the night journey. Whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified the revelation of the Qur'an, and that is straight, and there is no crookedness in it whatsoever, and he praised himself subhanahu wa ta'ala about his book and his revelation, he mentioned the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again. With which quality? A slave. What verse is that? الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له فيه عوجا. In Surah Al-Kahf. الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده. All praise and thanks is to Allah, the one who revealed to his slave the book and did not make any crookedness therein. And the point is that to be a slave of Allah Azza wa Jal, this is the highest rank and the highest status that every believer should hope to reach and strive to be. That should be the light of the eye, that he wants to be near Allah Azza wa Jalla. He wants to be a slave. He wants to be from those who submit. He wants to be righteous. He has in his heart raghba for this. He has in his heart desire for this. He yearns for this. He hoped that he could be a good Muslim. Like, this is something in the heart of a believer he wants to be. Why? Because he knows Allah Azza wa Jalla, he created him. Because Ar-Rabb huwa al-Ma'bud. If you know who, if when we learn about Ar-Rabb and the Rububiyyah, we see that this is, in any case, in kullu man fi al-samawati wal-ardh illa ya'ati ar-rahmani 'abda. Everything is a slave anyways. They come in taw'an wa karha wa ilayhi turja'un. They're going to submit willfully or unwillfully. In the end, you're going to return to him. In the end, there's a return to him. So the one who has success and the one who wants good for himself, then he submit himself. Then he'll be a slave. Again, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he is our qudwa in this. And likewise the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But this verse in Surah Al-Baqarah is very amazing for a believer to ponder over. إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ. And he did, he قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ. Now this is the way that we should try to be. This is the way that a believer, he would tell, I want to be like this. قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. He said, whenever his Lord told him, submit. What did he do? He said, I submit to the Lord of the worlds. خَلَاص, I'm not going to refuse no more. I'm not going to fight. I'm not going to try to find my own way. I can't do it by myself. I'm weak. I have to have the help of Allah Azza wa Jalla. If not, I will go astray. If not, I already know what it tastes like to be in the evils of this disbelief and misguidance and sin. I don't want to be like that no more. قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. This is success. This is goodness. And this is the way to peace and to every khayr in this life and in the hereafter. To be a slave. To be a slave. So a believer, he wants to be a slave. He's not. This is not something that is bad in his mind. Nah, to be a slave to Allah. To be a slave to the dunya, nah, this is horrible. Ya'adhan billah. But the reality is that a person, he will either be a slave to Allah or he'll be a slave to shaitan. قَالَ يَا أَبَتِي لَا تَعْبُدِ الشَّيْطَانَ إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانِ كَانَ لِلرَّحْمَنِ عَصِيًّا. Do not, oh my father, Ibrahim again, he told his father, oh my father, do not worship shaitan. Verily, was he worshiping shaitan? He's worshiping idols. But the reality of disobeying Allah Azza wa Jalla is giving this ibadah to shaitan. It's a type of ibadah to shaitan. Don't worship shaitan. Verily, shaitan was disobedient to Ar-Rahman. Shaitan is disobedient to Ar-Rahman. Nam, so the case is that a person, he will either be a slave to his desires or to something, or he will be a slave to his Lord. And this is what we're created for. We're the human being, we're created to be slaves. We're all slaves. Either we will be the good slave or the bad slave. Who wants to be a good slave? This is what a believer, he wants to be. And even if we can picture in our minds, they need to understand, the ulama, they make this example similarly also, like a slave from the people. If there was a man, he had a slave. And that slave was disobedient, and he ran off, and he ran away. He stripped the chains off, and he ran away. How do you think that, and he kept running and running and running, and hiding, and every time he's almost there, and to catch him, he'll run away and slip away again, and maybe harm to get away. How do you think if it, whenever his master catches him, he's going to be nice to him? He's going to have husn dhan, good dhan, a good opinion about his master. And he's running left and right, dodging him, and they call him and page him. He doesn't respond, changing the phone number, change it like this. And then how about the one who is fleeing from the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jalla? Fleeing from the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he's going to have to meet his Lord. Now he's going to have to meet Allah Azza wa Jalla. And the point is that the servitude and the ubudiyah, this is what a believer, he strives to be. He wants to be a slave. He wants to be a slave to Allah Azza wa Jal. He wants to be a slave to Allah Azza wa Jal. Even it has been mentioned, subhanAllah, many times about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We've seen in the Quran some examples. Here there's a narration in Al-Musnad by Al-Imam Ahmad. It's been authenticated by Shaykh Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala. It's a narration of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. He said, جَلَسَ جِبْرِيلُ إِلَى النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَنَظَرَ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. Jibreel, he said, beside the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, and he looked to the heavens. فَإِذَا مَلَكٌ يَنزِلُ. And then all of a sudden there's an angel descending. نعم, Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه, he's informing us, the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, he's sitting with the angel Jibreel. And he looked up to the heavens, and there's an angel that starts to descend. So he says, فَقَالَ جِبْرِيلُ. Jibreel, he mentioned, عليه السلام إن هذا الملك ما نزل منذ خلق قبل الساعة. He said, this angel right here has never descended ever since it's been created until this moment. This angel here that's descending right now, it has never ever descended ever since it has been created until this moment. Until this moment. He said, فلما نزل قال, whenever it descended, it said to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, يا محمد أرسلني إليك ربك. He said, verily, O Muhammad, my Lord, your Lord has sent me to you. Your Lord, your Rabb has sent me to you. فقال أف ملك نبيا يجعلك أو عبدا رسولا. أف ملك نبيا يجعلك أو عبدا رسولا. Should your Lord cause you or make you to be a king and a prophet, or should he make you be a messenger and a slave? He was given the choice. The prophet, the angel, he never descended, and he came and he said, "My Lord, your Lord sent me to you. Should he make you a king and prophet, or a slave and messenger?" At this time, the narration Jibril, he says, "Tawadha li Rabbik ya Muhammad, humble yourself before your Lord, O Muhammad." Allahu Akbar. Tawadha li Rabbik ya Muhammad. And the angel Jibril, he tells the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Humble yourself." Humble yourself before your Lord, O Muhammad. So he said, "Bal abdan rasul." He said, "Rather, I would want to be a slave and a messenger." I want to be a slave and a messenger. I want to be a slave and a messenger. He's the role model for mankind. He's the role model for mankind, and he's a slave and messenger. He's a slave and messenger. Naam, he's a slave and messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So we see the learning about ibadah is very important. Learning how to be a true slave is very important. And whenever a person, he submits and surrenders himself in a manner pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jalla, at this time he will be the ranks. When he humbles himself, he raises in the ranks. When he submits himself, beginning with his heart, submitting himself with his heart and then his body sincerely and truthfully, and then his body parts likewise following behind that, and submitting himself entirely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he raised the ranks. Now he raised the ranks, he becomes high. And then whatever he has this status, then Allah azza wa jalla yatawalla amrahu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will dispose of his affairs for him, and he will help him, and he will facilitate for him. And even whenever he faces hardship or danger or difficulty, then Allah azza wa jalla, he make it easy for him. He's able to deal with the life. He's able to deal with ups and downs in the manner that's good, because Allah azza wa jalla is guiding him. Because he surrendered himself and submitted. Because he surrendered himself and submitted. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, he has a very famous work about this topic, about the subject of al-ibadah. It's entitled al-ubudiyyah. Al-ubudiyyah. Al-ubudiyyah means worship or servitude. But in this work, he mentioned many great benefits. We'll just read a few of them that will help us, inshallah, to understand this reality. It's not a big book, but we'll just read a few of the statements from Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah from this work, Al-Ubudiyyah. It's been printed by itself, but also it's found in Majmu' al-Fatawa by Shaykh al-Islam, volume number 10. Volume number 10. This volume particularly is about A'mal al-Qulub, the actions of the heart. The actions of the heart. So he says, Al-Ibadah, and this is how he began. And he was asked the question, why did he write this book in the first place? And why did he write the book Ubudiyyah? He's asked about the reality of Ibadah, and that which branches off and stems from Ibadah, and what is the included in Ibadah, and what are the states of Ibadah, or the stages in this life and the hereafter, so on and so forth. And so he began like this, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Al-Ibadah, هي اسم جامع لكل ما يحبه الله ويرضاه من الأقوال والأعمال الباطنة والظاهرة. He said that al-ibadah, it is a concise term for everything that Allah loves and is pleased with, from statements and actions, inwardly and outwardly. Inwardly and outwardly. This is the definition that is well known to the students of knowledge and the people of the sunnah, alhamdulillah, this definition of ibadah. And it's very befitting for every believer to memorize this definition. This is one of the most concise definitions. Ibadah, what is it? A concise term that includes every single thing that Allah loves and is pleased with, from speech and from action. I need the speech of the tongue and the speech of the heart. The action of the tongue and the action of the heart. I need the action of the body parts and the action of the heart. Now, all of this is considered ibadah, whether it's inward or outward. Naam, and then it's very important likewise to know that ibadah is three types. Yani that this is in reference here. There's ibadah qalbiyah, and that's the asl, the worship of the heart. And then there's also the ibadah lisaniyah, of the tongue. But also the ibadah, the worship of the tongue, it won't be beneficial unless it's coupled with the heart. So the worship of the heart, and then there's the worship of the tongue. Like what? Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, Allah, reciting the Quran, making dua. Allahumma a'inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Making dua with the tongue, calling on Allah Azza wa Jalla. But this one must be coupled with the heart, the worship of the tongue and the heart. There's worship of the heart only. The heart is worshiping Allah only. Like what? Al-khashya, al-khawf, and also raja, with tawakkul, and inaba. And the likes, all of these types of worship, inshallah, the author, he mentioned with evidences. We discussed them one by one, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. But these are like trust and reliance, hope and fear, love and desire. This is all, these are actions of the heart. The heart is worshiping Allah alone, and in the heart only. Then there's actions of the tongue, as I mentioned. But this one must be coupled with the heart, or else it is very deficient. And the one who couples the actions of the tongue, the worship of the tongue with the heart, for example, the adhkar in the sabah, and the adhkar after the salawat, and he tries to think about that meaning, then this is very beneficial for him. This is very beneficial for him. وَلَا نَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّهِ لَهُ النِّعْمَةُ وَلَهُ الْفَضْلُ لَهُ الثَّنَاءُ الْحَسَنُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ دِينَ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. Now, whenever he thinks about that meaning, لَهُ النِّعْمَةُ وَلَهُ الْفَضْلُ, there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. He has the all the blessings are for Him, and all the favors are from Him alone. All praises for Him alone. There's nothing. We don't worship anyone except for Him, with sincerity, remembering this every time. رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا, and he's making the adhkar with the tongue, worship, but also with the heart. Also with the, I'm pleased with Allah as the Lord. Like worshiping Allah with the tongue and the heart. The other type is worshiping Allah with the body. Also this one must be included with the heart. So the asl is the worship of the heart. Ibadah is in the heart. Ibadah is in the heart. Nam, the worshipping of the body, for example, making salat, and so on and so forth. Actions of the body part. Even there's actions with wealth, giving charity, and slaughtering. This is from ibadah maliyah. The person, he slaughters, and the udhiyah, for the sake of Allah, he worship Allah with his money. He gives charity, giving that, hoping for the reward, with the heart worshipping too. This is ibadah. This is ibadah. So he says that this ibadah is a concise term, including everything that Allah loves and is pleased with from statements and actions, inwardly and outwardly. Then he made examples, like salat and zakat and siyam and hajj, and being truthful in speech, and performing the trust, adat, aman, birr, al-walidain, being good to the parents, and connecting the ties of relatives, fulfilling the oaths and contracts. All of this is ibadah. Commanding the good and prohibiting the evil, fighting the disbelievers and the hypocrites in the path of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Al-ihsan to the neighbor, being good to the neighbor and to the orphan and to the poor person and to the traveler. All of this is considered ibadah. Also being nice and kind to those who are under one's possession, whether he is a person or whether they're animals. He's mentioning all of this. This is all ibadah. Supplication and remembering and reciting, all of these are examples of ibadah. Meaning not, this is not ibadah only. Rather, these are only examples of ibadah. He mentioned like that, loving Allah and loving the Messenger, fearing Allah and repenting and returning to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, with repentance, and making the religion entirely and sincerely for Him, and being patient upon His commandments, and also being thankful for His blessings, being pleased with His decree. All of these are from acts of worship. Likewise, trust and reliance. This is what the author, he's mentioning likewise. These actions here, raja, hoping for His mercy, fearing His punishment. All of these are examples of ibadah. All of these are examples of ibadah. He said, رَحِمَهُ تَعَالَى, وَذَلِكَ أَنَّ الْعِبَادَةَ لِلَّهِ هِيَ الْغَايَةُ الْمَحْبُوبَةُ لَهُ وَالْمَرْضِيَّ لَهُ. He said, because ibadah, this is the goal that is beloved and pleased to Him. Ibadah, worship, this is what Allah is pleased with. This is the goal, this is the purpose why there is a creation. Why is there a sun? To ibadah. Why does the wind blow? Ibadah. Why do the crops grow? Ibadah. Why are there sheep and cows? Ibadah, to worship Him. They're all slaves to Him, but so that we can worship Him. So that we can worship Him. That's why He created us. He did the first thing, so we can do the second thing. وَمَا خَلَقَتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. He created, so we can worship. He created, so we can worship. This is what Allah Azza wa Jalla, He wants from us. And this is what He has created the creation for. Rather, that's the purpose. And that's why He sent messengers. And from the first of them, as we have seen, Nuh, what did He call to? Ibadah. Ya qawmi, i'budu Allah. Ma lakum min ilahin ghayru. This is mentioning all of these issues here. Even Allah Azza wa Jalla, He sent the messengers, all of them. وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتَ. We sent in every nation a messenger proclaiming to them, worship Allah alone and stay away from the false gods.
Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, he died in the year 728. He mentioned in his Risalah al-Ubudiyyah, he says, وَالدِّينَ الدِّينَ يعني الدِّين كله يَتَضَمَّنُ مَعْنَى الْخُضُوعِ وَالذُّلِ. The entire religion, it consists of the meaning, or it entails the meaning, الْخُضُوعِ وَالذُّلِ. Submissiveness and surrender, humiliation. That's the meaning of deen. He says, يُقَالُ دِنْتُ فَدَانَ لِي. دِنْتُ فَدَانَ لِي. دِنْتُهُ فَدَانَ لِي. He said, I دِنْتُ فَدَانَ لِي. Yani meaning ذَلَلْتُهُ فَذَلْ, meaning I made him surrender and submit, and he submitted.
So the deen, it means submission. One of the meanings of deen, it means submission and surrender, humility and humbleness. And like this, he says, وَيُقَالُ يَدِينُ اللَّهَ وَيَدِينُ لِلَّهِ That you worship Allah Azza wa Jal. نَامْ يَعْبُدَ اللَّهِ وَيُطِيعُ وَيَخْضَعُ لَهُ That you worship Allah Azza wa Jal, you obey Him and you submit yourself to Him. يَعْنِ يَدِينُ لِلَّهِ وَيُدِينُ إِلَيْهِ So يُقَالُ يَدِينُ اللَّهَ وَيَدِينُ لِلَّهِ And you worship Allah Azza wa Jal and also you submit to Him and you surrender to Him. He says, فَدِّينُ اللَّهِ إِبَادَتُهُ وَطَاعَتُهُ وَالْخُضُوعُ لَهُ So the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal, the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, it is his worshipping Him and obeying Him and surrendering and submitting to Him. Naam, submitting. And khudu' is to submit and to surrender and to humble oneself. Naam, he says, وَالْعِبَادَةُ أَصْلُ مَعْنَاهَا الذُّلْ أَيْضًا And also the word ibadah, the original meaning of the word ibadah is also submission, humbleness and humility. So the whole deen is humbleness and humility, obedience and servitude. Rather, the word ibadah likewise has the same fundamental meaning, al-dhul. يُقَالُ طَرِيقٌ مُعَبَّدٌ إِذَا كَانَ مُذَلَّلًا قَدْ وَطِئَتْهُ الْأَقْدَامُ He said that you say about a path that has been paved flat, that has been walked on by feet for a long time, this is called a path that is mu'abbad. Have the same the root word as ibadah, meaning that it has been flattened and made submissive. It has been flattened and made submissive. This is the original word, the meaning of the word ibadah. He says, وَلَكِنْ عَلِبَادَةِ الْمَعْمُورَةِ بِهَا تَتَضَمَّنُ مَعْنَ الظُّلْ وَمَعْنَ الْحُبِّ But the word ibadah that is commanded, that we're commanded with, it consists of the meaning humility and love. فَهِيَ تَتَضَمَّنُ غَايَةَ الظُّلِّ لِلَّهِ وَبِغَايَةِ الْمَحَبَّةِ لَهِ So the word ibadah, it consists of the peak of humbleness and humility before Allah, along with the peak of love. Along with the peak of love. He mentioned after this, he says, Rahimahullah, وَمَنْ خَضَعَ لِإِنسَانٍ مَعَ بُغْضِهِ لَهُ لَا يُكُونُ عَابِدًا لَهُ So the one who submitted himself to a person without loving him, he's not considered a slave to him or worshipping him. وَلَوْ أَحَبَّ شَيْئًا وَلَمْ يَخْضَعَ لَهُ لَمْ يَكُنْ عَابِدًا لَهُ And if he loved something but he did not submit himself to him, or the likes like this, he would not also be considered a slave or a servant for that thing. كَمَا قَدْ يُحِبُّ وَلَدَهُ كَمَا قَدْ يُحِبُّ وَلَدَهُ وَصَدِيقُهُ وَلِهَذَا لَا يَكْفِي أَحَدُهُمَا فِي عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ Just like a person, maybe he loves his child or the likes like this, but this is not considered servitude and worship. This is not sufficient in the with the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. بَلْ يَجِبُ أَنْ يَكُونَ اللَّهُ أَحَبَّ إِلَى الْعَبْدِ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ But rather the slave has to be more beloved to Allah than everything. وَأَنْ يَكُونَ اللَّهُ أَعْظَمَ عِنْدَهُ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ And that Allah is greater than with him than everything else. بَلْ يَسْتِحِقُّ الْمُحَبَّةَ وَالذُّلَّ التَّامَّ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ And no one deserves complete love and complete surrender and servitude except for Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is what we have been discussing about the issue of ibadah, that it consists the peak of love and the peak of humility and humbleness. And that in reality, this is the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. The one who is upon the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, upon the straight path, he is a person that has submitted himself and surrendered himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he is in obedience, in humility and humbleness. In humility and in humbleness. So then these points of ibadah, yani, that ibadah revolves around are these issues here. Love and surrender and submission and humility. And likewise, along with love, there are two other issues and they come with love. That is fear and hope. The one who loves, he hopes for that thing that he loves, to be near it and to have benefit from it. And the one he fears, also he fears that he will not have his beloved or the love of his beloved. So then this is the case. And the ulama, they mentioned that these are the raka'is or the focal points and foundations of ibadah. This love and hope and fear. The one who worships, the salaf, they used to say, the one who worships Allah Azza wa Jalla with love only, then he is a heretic and a zindiq. And this is what some of the Sufiya, they claim. They say they don't worship Allah Azza wa Jal hoping for His paradise. And they don't worship Allah Azza wa Jal fearing the hellfire. They only worship Him because they love Him. And this is what they have claimed, and they think that this is something good. But rather, when Allah Azza wa Jal, He described the best of His creation, is وَكَانُوا يَدْعُونَنَا رَغَبًا وَرَهَبًا وَكَانُوا لَنَا خَاشِعِينَ. Allah described the prophets that have preceded عَلَيْهِمُ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ, and He mentioned that they used to call on Allah Azza wa Jal with fear and hope. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to hope for the mercy of Allah, and he used to hope for the paradise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He used to fear the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal. So how could somebody come now and say that we don't worship Allah hoping for His mercy? We don't worship Allah hoping for paradise. We don't worship Allah fearing for the hellfire or His punishment. We only worship Him because we love Him. This is what the ulama, they have mentioned. This person is a zindiq, and a hypocrite and heretic. He's truly misguided. And also on the other hand, somebody who worship Allah Azza wa Jal with hope, without fear, then he will be a murji'ah. This is the murji'ah, those who think that you know, they worship with hope only, without any fear. And on the other hand, those who worship with fear only, without any hope, the ulama, they mentioned that this person is a khariji. A khariji is on the way of the khawarij, worshipping with fear. He will not be truly on the straight path, muwahid, mu'min, muwahid, until he worship Allah Azza wa Jalla with love and with fear and with hope. With love and with fear and with hope. He gather between these affairs altogether. Between these affairs altogether. There are some other important issues to mention also about ibadah, and that is to correct some of the misunderstandings, and that ibadah, it must be done with moderation. And the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with ibadah was the moderate course, and he was not extreme on either side. He was not going to extreme, going overboard with ghulu and ifrat and ibadah, nor was he negligent sallallahu alayhi wasallam with tasahul and tafriyat and ibadah. Rather, he's on the middle course. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was commanded, Allah Azza wa Jal, He commanded him in the book, and He said, فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ وَمَنْ تَابَ مَعَكَ وَلَا تَطْغَوْ. Allah Azza wa Jal, He said to His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ, be upright and steadfast upon the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, as you have been commanded. And he, without any negligence and without any heedlessness. And the Prophet, he was commanded to be steadfast upon istiqamah, kama umirta, as you have been commanded. Meaning according to the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal. Not according to desires and the whims or the likes or innovations and hawa, but rather according to the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. And according to the legislation, kama umirta. And those who repent along with you, wala tathghaw. Yani to emphasize, do not go beyond the boundaries and do not transgress the limits. Tughyan is a mujawaza. Don't go beyond the boundaries. Shaitan, if he finds a person who likes to, he learns about ibadah and he starts to worship Allah Azza wa Jal, he'll try to cause him to go astray. He'll try to cause him to go over the boundaries. Or if he finds a person who is a little bit lazy with regards to ibadah, lackadaisical, and he has negligence, he'll cause him to go on the other side and to become negligent. But the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is moderation. Moderation in ibadah and continuation. Moderation and continuation. It has come in the hadith of Anas, which is very famous, radiallahu anhu, that there was those three men who came to one of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to ask about how was his ibadah in the home. And she mentioned that his acts of worship in the house, and then they thought that this was something light. And they said, well, his sins have been forgiven, his past and his present sins have been, and his future sins have been forgiven. As for us, they would have to strive harder than that. So one of them said that I'm going to pray all night and never sleep. Another one said I'm going to fast every day and never eat. Another one, he said, I'm not going to get married. And they all did this wanting to strive in ibadah, knowing our sins are not forgiven. I don't have the promise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I have to do more to save my soul. So they said this, and they mentioned this, not to disobey or not to transgress the boundaries, because they thought that this is what was required. But in reality, whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard about this, he became angry, and he gave a speech, and he said, "Ma balu aqwamin yuqulu kadha wa kadha." And he said, "Verily, I sleep and I pray and I sleep, and I fast and I break my fast, and I marry women. So whoever does not like my sunnah, then he's not from me." فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. So the way of ibadah is the way of moderation. And that's the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sometimes a person, maybe he will want to, for example, start have the desire now to be a slave of Allah, to strive against his soul. If he's not careful in following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, shaitan will encourage him, but in reality he's leading him away. He's leading him astray. Encourage him and encourage him, for example, so you can stand in the night prayer. The Prophet, he prayed 11 rak'ah. So he will want to stay in the night prayer 11 rak'ah. One night, two night, three night. After that, it become heavy for him. Very beginning, first thing, he never stood in night prayer before. All of a sudden, he wants to stand 11 rak'ah. And then thinking he has zeal and he has desire. But if he's not careful, then he may be do it one night, two night, three night. After some time, he will not be able to continue. And he'll wind up leaving it off entirely. But if you start with 3 rak'ah, for example, and he does that precisely and good, and it becomes a sunnah for him, and that this becomes his way, and then after that he can add to it a little more if he has more energy like this. But the way is that a believer, he will choose enough from the worship, and you're talking about the non-obligatory actions. The obligatory actions, they must be performed as they are, and if the non-obligatory actions, then he will perform them like this. He will take on as much as he can. Likewise, in seeking knowledge and memorizing the Quran, somebody may say, well, I can memorize a whole page every day. And then maybe he'll do that one day, 2 days, 3 days, it'll be heavy for him. And then he wants to make a review, he forget. And then pretty soon he'll leave off memorizing. But if he memorized, for example, a quarter page, or less than that even, but he did it continuously, over and over, until he built up this methodology and he's able to carry that weight, and he continuously and consecutively, this is better for him. And then later on after that, if he wants to add more, alhamdulillah. But the way to do it is to establish the ibadah first. And this is the moderation in ibadah, the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Any question? Any question? Comment, correction? Naam.
You was talking about that's concerning like the intentions too as well. You say from the heart and even the action, physical. That's also to deal with the intention as well, right?
The intention is the beginning. And if the intention is wrong, then the whole action is wrong. Naam. That's the ibad, the intention. Naam. Ahsant. Very good. What are the three pillars of worship of the heart? In the back. Somebody in the back.
Fear, hope, and love.
MashaAllah. Fear, hope, and love. Naam. What is the definition of ibadah? Shaykh al-Islam. أحسن جزاكم الله خيرا هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم